This is the Ask Pastor Alex podcast with your host, Pastor Alex.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Pastor Alex, lead pastor of Georges Creek Baptist Church in Easley, South Carolina, and I want to welcome you into another episode of the Ask Pastor Alex podcast. And today, we're going to be addressing a question I've been asked so many times, and that is, what is the Book of Enoch, and why is it not included in the Bible? That's a good question. It's an interesting question because it deals with an interesting topic, which is the Book of Enoch. So let's start by getting some basic info, all right? So the Book of Enoch is an ancient Jewish text that is attributed to Enoch, who was the great-grandfather of Noah. However, it is not considered canonical, meaning it's not included in Scripture, and there are a few reasons for that. First, it's not included in Scripture because it's pseudepigraphical. If you're not sure what that word means, just break it down into its parts, right? So pseudo refers to false, and so like a false attribution or a false name, and graphical refers to writing. So pseudepigraphical refers to a writing that is falsely attributed to someone else. In this case, it is falsely attributed to Enoch. There is no proof or evidence to suggest that the Book of Enoch was actually written by Enoch. And there's actually not a lot written about Enoch in Scripture. We read about him in four verses, beginning in Genesis chapter 5, verse 21. When Enoch had lived 64 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. That means Enoch actually didn't die, but was taken up to heaven by God, and that's all we read about Enoch in Scripture. And so there's no mention of him receiving a vision from the Lord, or writing anything down, or being inspired of the Lord. We just read about his life and then how he was taken up to God, and in only four verses. Also, parts of the Book of Enoch were discovered among the Dead Sea Scrolls, which dates to around the 3rd century BC. And so if we looked at when Enoch lived, probably around 3000 to 3500 BC, to the dating of the fragments around the 3rd century BC, well, that's a difference of about 2700 to 3000 years, which means that the first evidence of his writing, if the dating is correct, occurs approximately 3000 years after Enoch lived. So does that prove that he didn't write it? Well, no, not technically, but it does make it extremely unlikely that he wrote it. The other reason the Book of Enoch isn't included in Scripture is because it was never recognized as inspired or authoritative. During the time of Rabbinic Judaism, they were familiar with the Book of Enoch, but they rejected it as Scripture. And the same thing is true of the early Christians. While many Christians read the Book of Enoch and they were familiar with it, and they even viewed it as being helpful in some ways, they never recognized it as inspired or authoritative. In terms of canonicity, when we talk about which books are included in Scripture and which are not, the church only included books in the Bible that were attributed to a known author, usually an apostle with regard to the New Testament. And then they recognized it as authoritative and began to use it in their churches to teach and preach and instruct. And since Enoch didn't meet those requirements, it was never included in Scripture. Now, that's the background to what the book is and who the supposed author is, and even why it's not included in Scripture. But now we can move on to the contents of the book. The Book of Enoch is divided into five parts, and each one has its own emphasis and theme. So part one is the Book of the Watchers, and it describes the fall of the Watchers. In this case, it's referring to angels who descended to earth, married human women, and produced giant offspring called Nephilim. It also describes Enoch's journey through heaven, as well as visions of divine judgment and the fate of the angels. Part two is the Book of the Parables, and this section contains three parables about the coming judgment, the role of the Messiah, and the fate of the righteous and the wicked. Part three is the Astronomical Book, also known as the Book of Heavenly Luminaries, and it explains the movements of the sun, moon, and stars, and emphasizes their obedience to divine laws. Part four is the Book of Dream Visions. In this section, the author recounts two symbolic dreams. The first one is a vision of the flood that would eventually destroy the world. And the second one is a history of the world, and in this case, it's symbolized by animals, culminating in divine judgment and the establishment of God's kingdom. The final part is the Epistle of Enoch. And this section includes a series of exhortations, blessings, and curses directed at the righteous and the wicked. It emphasizes the inevitability of judgment and the importance of righteousness. So that's what's in the book of Enoch. But the question remains, should Christians read the book of Enoch? And I would say probably not for most Christians. It's a good read for scholars who are doing research and investigating these things, but for your average Christian sitting in the pews on a Sunday morning, I think it's going to do more harm than good, and I think it's going to cause a great deal of confusion. Now, there are some areas of overlap between evangelical theology and what's found in the book of Enoch. For instance, there's significant overlap with regard to angelology. Enoch largely agrees with the Bible's depiction of angelic rebellion, but also adds to the narrative a good deal, right? There's also some overlap in terms of eschatology, or at least the final judgment. Both evangelicals and Enoch agree that there is going to be a final judgment in which God will judge the righteous and the unrighteous, and that will result in an eternal destiny. However, as you can imagine, there are some drastic differences as well. For instance, evangelicals emphasize the person and work of Jesus Christ for our redemption and eternal salvation, whereas Jesus is completely absent in Enoch. There are references to a coming Messiah, but those rarely, if ever, have anything to do with salvation, and they instead focus more on the Messiah's role in the final judgment. As evangelicals, we also believe that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus alone. Whereas Enoch seems to indicate that God will vindicate the righteous, but he fails to explain on what basis they are righteous. It leads to the conclusion that the righteous are those who do good. And so faith has no role in Enoch's theology. Also, with regard to sin, evangelicals believe that Adam's guilt is passed down as well as his sin nature, so that every person has a bent towards sin and is personally responsible for their sin. However, Enoch mostly attributes the problem of sin to the corruption from angels in the pursuit or possession of what's known as forbidden knowledge. With regard to the final judgment, Christians believe that the final judgment is Christ-centered and ultimately culminates with the new creation of the new heavens and the new earth. But Enoch portrays a cosmic judgment with the presence of a messianic figure, but no mention of the new creation. Therefore, while the book of Enoch can be an interesting read, it can also cause a great deal of confusion and misunderstanding. So most Christians should probably not read it, nor would they benefit from it. Now, there's one more issue that we need to discuss very quickly. And that's the fact that the book of Jude, which is an inspired work of God and it is included in the Bible, actually quotes the book of Enoch. In Jude chapter 1, verses 14 through 15, Jude quotes Enoch and says, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and convict all the ungodly of their deeds of ungodliness." These verses are quoting 1 Enoch 1:9. And so obviously the question is, well, what do Christians do with that? If Enoch isn't inspired by God, then why does Jude, an inspired author, quote it? Well, first, it's important to realize that Jude never refers to Enoch's writing as scripture. He simply quotes the book. This is primarily because his audience would have been very familiar with the book of Enoch, and Jude was wanting to appeal to something they were familiar with in order to make a point about God's judgment. In fact, this was a common practice at the time, and we even see other examples of this in Scripture. In Acts 17:28 and in Titus chapter 1 verse 12, Paul quotes pagan poets like Epimenides and Aretas and includes those quotes in Scripture. This doesn't mean that those poets were inspired by God. It's just another example of a biblical author appealing to something that their audience was familiar with in order to connect with them and make a point. The other thing to consider is that just because Enoch might have been right generally or right about some things does not mean that the whole work is correct. Jude sees what Enoch says about the final judgment and he recognizes, yeah, he's generally right. There is going to be a final judgment in which God will judge the godly and the ungodly. However, that doesn't mean that the rest of Enoch is right. It's just a cultural tactic to appeal to an audience. We might do the same thing today if we were witnessing to Mormons. If I were witnessing to a Mormon, I would immediately grab my Hebrew-Greek Bible and begin to translate in front of them to show them why their beliefs contradict Scripture. And in order to appeal to them and meet them where they're at, I would reference Joseph Smith and quote him where he said, We believe the Bible to be the Word of God as far as it is translated correctly. And I would use this quote to connect with them and explain to them why what I'm translating for them is correct and therefore the Word of God, which means it must be authoritative. However, just because I would do this doesn't mean that I agree with what Joseph Smith said and taught as a whole. Of course, I don't agree with him. He got a ton of things wrong. He got more things wrong than he got right. But I would do this because it's a cultural tactic to appeal to something that the audience is familiar with in order to begin a conversation. So all of this is to say that the fact that Jude quotes from the book of Enoch in no way means that Enoch is inspired or even that all of it is true. There were very specific reasons Jude decided to quote it, and we've just discussed those. All right, so that's going to put a wrap on our Book of Enoch discussion. I hope that you've learned something from this episode and have a better understanding of what the Book of Enoch is and why it's not included in the Bible. Again, I really wouldn't recommend reading it for most Christians, but if you want to, and if you're just curious about what's in it, you can find it for free online. So I hope that you found this answer helpful. Be sure to submit your questions to AskPastorAlexPodcast@gmail.com, and I look forward to answering more in the future.